Bible with me to Psalms 102 today. Psalms 102. This has kind of been our beginning point for talking about some things that we've been talking about concerning the favor of God. And I just want to start there again. Psalms 102. This seemed like these scriptures just kind of began to be quickened to me. You know, not that I haven't been familiar with them, but you know, the first of the year, I just believe that this is a year of favor. I believe that this is going to be the best year you've ever had in your life. Hallelujah. You say, how can you stand up there and say that? Well, I believe. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you believe? Whose report will you believe? You know, the book of Isaiah asks us that. Whose report will you believe? And, you know, we sing a song sometimes about that. Whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. Now, how many of you know that the report of the Lord and the report of the world is not always the same? Hallelujah. The world's report goes up and down. You know, and the world's expectations go up and down and everything. But, you know, we ought to be going from faith to faith and glory to glory. We ought to be increasing. As we increase in the knowledge of God's Word and as we increase in His, in knowing His goodness and His nature and those kind of things, we ought to be increasing in our expectations as well. I'm expecting more today than I was expecting last year. Hallelujah. How about you? Glory to God. And so, it's a matter of realizing that we have the favor of God. But, you know, I just think that as a result of taking some time and looking at some of these scriptures and talking about favor and becoming favor-minded, that we are going to experience more of God's favor this year than we ever have before. Not that it's not always available. It's always available. It's always for us, but, you know, we just, we get our expectations up, and God blesses expectations. Now, let's look at Psalm 102, and let's just go to one verse here. In verse 13, it says, "Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time has come." Hallelujah. Now, Zion is, again, I just wanted to point out to you that Zion is a type of the church. And over in Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us that we've come unto Mount Zion. Hallelujah. And so we as a church, and it goes on to say the church of the firstborn. And so not only is there a physical Mount Zion, hallelujah, not only is there the physical nation of Israel, but there's also spiritual Zion, which is the church, praise God. And when you got born again, you became a part of that church of the living God, the favored of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things become new. One translation of that says a new species of being that never existed before. Amen. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm a new creature. I'm a new species of being that never existed before. There were no new creatures before 2,000 years ago when Jesus went to the cross, rose again, praise God, sat down at the right hand of the God. Sealed the covenant for us. We are new covenant people. There were no new covenant people before 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. So you're a new creature. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus. And I would submit to you that, there were all kinds of people that were talked about in the Bible. Remember all the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the, you know, there's so many ites there, hallelujah. and I am a favorite. I am God's favorite child. Hallelujah. And you can be God's favorite child too. You know, God, you know, that's the way it is with God. You know, you can, you know, we're kind of limited in our human capacity and everything to have a favorite. But God is so big that his favorite can include all of us. We can all be his favorite child. Hallelujah. You know, I've told you this before, but, you know, it just seemed like, you know, there was a time years ago when you know, I was just, I was learning about favor, I was learning about the grace of God, I was learning about all those kind of things, and I was conscious of that, and I would confess those things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for favor. I just say, thank you, Lord, I'm favored. And you know, and back then, you know, we, you know, a lot of us in the word movement, you know, we'd greet each other with, well, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Me too. Glory to God. Blessed and highly favored. But you know, it is sometimes it's just developing a mindset that direction, that we are blessed and highly favored. Hallelujah. Now, God says it. I didn't say it. God said it. Hallelujah. We are God's favored people. And, you know, that can include everybody in the body of Christ. But I tell you, the more that you grow in knowledge of this and knowledge of his goodness, the more the favor manifests in your life. Now, if you're ignorant of God's favor and God's blessing, then you know he'll bless you as far as he can. But I tell you, God's a faith God, and he does things by faith. And you know, and that's why it's important for us to get in the Word and find out what he says about us, so that our faith can grow and develop, and our expectation can grow and develop. And, you know, I like what it says in Chronicles. We won't turn over there, but it says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro upon the face of the whole earth, seeking to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him, or upright toward him. Hallelujah. And you know, the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he's a rewarder of them, that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. So God is a rewarder, and God is looking to show himself strong on our behalf. And so we need to get a hold of that, and we need to realize that. Let's look over at Psalms chapter... Now, let's see, where do I want to go? Go to Psalms 84. Psalms 84, and let's look at verse 10. It says, let's start again in verse 9. It says, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Now, we saw last week, I think it was, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, that we are anointed of God as well. So this is not just talking about one person. Jesus is the anointed one. He is the Messiah, the anointed one, praise God. But we are the body of the anointed one. We are the body of Christ. Christ means anointed one and his anointing. You know, and so, you know, so many times, people look at Jesus, you know, Jesus Christ, and think that Christ is his last name. And, you know, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ gives a description of who he is, the anointed one. Hallelujah. He is the anointed one, the Christ. But we are the body of Christ. And Psalm 133 says that, you know, it's, you know, the anointing is like the oil that was poured out on Aaron's head, and it flowed down to his beard and all the way down to his clothes and all the way down to the hem of his garment. So it doesn't matter if you're the little toe, hallelujah, in the body of Christ, praise God, you are anointed. Everybody say, I'm anointed. Hallelujah. You know, acknowledging that and recognizing that brings a lot of benefits your way. I am anointed. Praise the Lord. You know, I do this quite often, you know, when I think about it, especially when I am, you know, just getting ready to preach, and I just, you know, it's kind of one of those times where that you think I got it all together all the time. And you think you always know what I'm going to say. But, I don't really prepare messages so much as I prepare myself. I realize, you know, I spend time praying, fellowshipping with God, and realizing that His anointing is what makes the difference. And so, I always just, or quite often, I just take that scripture that Jesus, you know, talked about Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And I just take that as my own. Praise the Lord. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Well, God anointed Greg of Topeka too. And whatever your name is, hallelujah. He anoints us. God is looking for vessels to anoint. God is looking for people that He can place His Spirit upon, praise God, that'll be used as vessels of His. And so when we rely upon the anointing, I've just found that the Holy Ghost can say and do what He wants to say and do. Now, if I was relying upon strictly my mental faculties, I could never get the job done. You could never get the job done if you just rely strictly upon your mental faculties, because not a one of us are smart enough to do what God has called us to do. We need the anointing. We need the anointing of God. Hallelujah. And the anointing of God and the favor of God go hand in hand. Praise the Lord. And so he says, Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Now, if you hold your finger right there and just go back to Psalms chapter 5, and verse 12, it says, For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Hallelujah. With favor. I tell you, you know, when you have the compass, or you have the shield of God's favor encompassing you, that means surrounding you. Hallelujah. You're protected from, you don't have any blind side. God says that He will be your rear guard. Hallelujah. He also says, I'll go before you and make the crooked places straight. Hallelujah. He's beside us. He's before us. He's behind us. He's all around us. The favor of God, hallelujah, is like a shield to us. So when we confess and we believe for favor, praise God, it is like God just puts a shield around us. And the devil, no matter how hard he wants to get to us, praise God, we're claiming favor, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, you surround me with favor as with a shield, hallelujah. And the devil tries his best and just can't get through that shield. Ha, ha, ha. In Psalm 84 and verse 9, go back over there. So it says, Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. Some translations say a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to be Justin Bieber for a day. Oh, no, excuse me. I shouldn't have said that. We need to pray and believe for him to get his life on track with God. Hallelujah. Let's start that over again. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell, the Amplified says, dwell at ease in the tents of wickedness. Whoo, glory to God. Isn't that right? Man, you're blessed today. You know that? Being in the house of God. Hallelujah. You're blessed today. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to be hung over on Sunday morning from last night's party. Hallelujah. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Verse 11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. There's that word shield again. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. That word grace there can also be translated favor. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Whoo! O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Glory to God. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now, good thing. No good thing will God uphold from them that walk uprightly. So, you know, the Bible says in Psalm 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Can you see what the psalmist is doing? Turn over there with me. Hallelujah. Let's see what he says about the benefits of the Lord. Hallelujah. We got good benefit. We got a good benefit package. You know that? You know, a lot of people only, all they care about is the paycheck. But you know, sometimes the benefits, you know, are such a blessing if you know you got them.
That's right.
Now, if you take a job and you never find out what your benefit package is, you know, then, you know, you might say, well, I get paid, you know, every Friday or whatever, but you don't know anything about the benefits that are available to you. And you don't take advantage of those benefits, they're there for you. But they're not doing you any good. Now, a lot of times people, you know, they receive Jesus as their Lord, and all they thought they got with that was they get to go to heaven when they die. Now, that's the paycheck, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing. You know, eternal life starts the moment you receive Jesus as your Lord. It doesn't start when you get to heaven. And the benefits kick in, praise God, as soon as you receive Jesus as your Lord and start finding out what those benefits are and start claiming them as yours.
That's right.
Hallelujah. But there's a whole lot of people, you know, that just, they know they're going to heaven. They know that they're saved and that they're going to heaven, but they They have no idea about his benefits. But here, the psalmist reminded himself to stir himself up. My soul. He's talking about his mind, his will, and emotions. Hallelujah. See, there's some things that we know in our spirit that we have to remind our mind of. We have to stir ourselves up and put ourselves in remembrance of some things. Look at this in verse 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Do you notice that the same all that's applied for sins is also applied for sicknesses? He forgiveth all thine iniquities. He healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Woo! No wonder David was favored of God. He had this kind of thinking. He was doing this. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He satisfies my mouth with good things. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, sometimes you start talking like this and you'll come under a little bit of persecution when you start talking about God is good all the time. He's good all the time. God is good all the time. Hallelujah. He forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. Hallelujah. He's a good God all the time. So, Psalm 84, it says that... says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Well, when you realize that you are favored of God, hallelujah, then you realize that he won't withhold healing from you. You know, a lot of times people need healing and they're just not sure that God would heal them. You know, oh, well, you know, I haven't been the most perfect person in the world. So what? It's not dependent upon your goodness. It's dependent on God's goodness.
That's right.
Did you ever see Jesus, when you read the New Testament, do you ever see Jesus, somebody coming up to him and asking him for mercy? "Lord, have mercy on me." There were people called out for mercy, you know, from him. For one thing, did you ever see him deny somebody who asked for mercy? Mercy, grace, favor. All the same thing. Mercy, grace, favor. Nobody ever was denied who asked God for mercy. You know, Jesus didn't deny any of them. But for another thing, did you ever see Jesus, when somebody came to him for healing, say, "You know, give me a few references. I'm going to find out what kind of person you've been." I'm going to find out, you know, let me have the names of your family members and who you work for and all of this kind of stuff. We're going to do a little background check on you. And we're going to find out whether or not you are worthy to be healed. Never did that with a one of them, did he? Never asked them, what'd you do yesterday? Not a one of them. He didn't dig into their past. Look at the leper in Matthew. Excuse me, let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 1. So no good thing would he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Somebody says, well, I haven't been walking uprightly. Well, you can start right now. Mark chapter 1. Verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Hallelujah. I know you can, but I just don't know if you will. You know, it's not faith to say, I know God is able. But yet so many times people, you know, that's where they hang everything on God is able. That's not faith to say God is able. Faith says he's willing to do it to me. God is not only able, he's willing. Of course he's able. He made you. He made every part of you. Hallelujah. If you need some spare parts or some new parts, he can give you new parts. Of course he's able. But this leper, see, he didn't quite have enough to receive his healing by just saying, I know you can, Jesus. He said, I don't know if you're willing. If you're willing, I know you can. And so many times people approach God that way. And if you could hear the voice in the heart of God, you'd hear just exactly what Jesus said to this man. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, or I am willing, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Now you notice, sir, that it's critical for you to see that's no accident the way that is worded. It doesn't say as soon as he laid his hands on him, the leprosy departed. It says Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. He had to remove an obstacle from that man's thinking before that man could receive his healing. And as soon as he had what? Spoken. As soon as he had spoken. What if he had just laid his hand on him, let him stay in that state, and had just laid his hand on him? I don't believe the leprosy would have departed, because the man wouldn't have been in faith to receive. Jesus was just as powerful and is just as powerful now as he was then. But you remember there was a time in the fourth chapter or the fifth chapter of Mark where that Jesus, you know, remember he was walking along and there was a woman that had an issue of blood. Came in the press behind him, touched his garment, for she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And when she touched him, power went out of him, and he felt a power surge go out of him, and he says, turned around, and he said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "You see the multitude thronging you." Man, people are touching him and everything, but none of them's getting healed. But she said, "I know. If I can get to him and touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." So it wasn't just the touch of Jesus. You know, we all want his touch, don't we? "He touched me, he touched me, and oh, what joy that fills my soul." Hallelujah. We all want his touch. Praise God. But you know, just getting his touch without us mixing faith with that touch doesn't do us any good. I mean, excuse me, I shouldn't say that. It doesn't get maximum benefit. He can touch you and he can bless you. But, you know, until we realize that, hey, wait a minute. He wants me whole. Look over at Psalms 145. F.F. Bosworth, who wrote the book Christ the Healer, excellent book, written about, I don't know, 70 or 80 years ago, but some of those old books are some of the best. You ever notice that? We went into a bookstore one time that was, it was a town that was, you know, headquarters for a full gospel denomination and stuff. And so I asked, where's the bookstore? I was looking for some of the books of the old pioneers, because there were people that really moved with God, you know, in this denomination. And I said, where's the bookstore that you can recommend where I can get some of these books? And so they recommended a place, and we went down there, and they didn't have any of that. They had all of the, you know, the fluffy stuff, you know, and everything that's out and available today, but there was nothing on. And it dawned on me, you know, you can forget your roots. You can forget where you came from. And, you know, every denomination that there is started out with the power of God. Every. Study out the old Methodists. Wesley, man, I tell you. They had some Holy Ghost camp meetings there. People were getting healed, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. All those, you know, even you trace back the Baptists when they started, you know, they believed in all the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, it's easy for, and now there's a lot of denominations that call themselves full gospel, but they've left off their roots. How'd I get off on that? Anyway, F.F. Bosworth was one of these pioneers in the faith, and he wrote a book called Christ the Healer. If you need healing, I'd just recommend that you get a hold of that book. Man, it is a treasure trove of faith in that book, Christ the Healer. I heard Brother Hagin say one time, he said there was a couple of books that he carried with him everywhere he went. Back then, you know, you couldn't have an iPad or something that's got all your books on it, you know. And so he'd carry around a suitcase with his study books and stuff. And so, you know, he'd go from meeting to meeting and see. He had one suitcase that was just full of his study materials. And he said, he mentioned that one of the books that he always carried with him and wore the cover off of several of them, hard covers off of several of them, was Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. But anyway, F.F. Bosworth said that, and he had, a lot of people got healed, you know, just through his ministry and stuff, and he wasn't so much for just laying hands on people. And he was more of a teacher. I mean, he would dig into the Word and he would teach. And you know, he had a radio program that he would teach, you know, and stuff. And people would get his sermons and you know, and hear the Word. And he had literally thousands of testimonies of people who received healing by hearing the Word. But here's what I wanted to get to. That what I wanted to point out was that he said that the revelation of the compassion of God, when people got a hold of that revelation, that was what seemed to be the greatest inspiration for people being healed that there was. And Psalm 145 here, and he brought this out in his book, and it just blessed me when I read it. Psalm 145 and verse 8, it says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Now that where it says, and this is what he pointed out, the Lord is gracious. That word gracious means disposed to show favors. The Lord is disposed to show favors. I mean, God is looking for people to favor. He's disposed to show favors. That is His nature. It does not bother God for you to come boldly to the throne of grace. But most people will not come boldly to the throne of grace like they're told to come, because they don't understand that it is a throne of grace. Most people look at God's throne as being a throne of judgment. You know, that he's sitting on this throne. He's waiting for you to mess up. And you just mess up, and he's got this big old fly swatter. Calls it his human swatter. Waiting for you to mess up. No. God is looking for people that He can bless. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show Himself strong. I mean, if we only understood how much God wants to bless us and favor us and bring us into a position of divine favor and grace, hallelujah, so that He can show Himself strong. And then He wants all the glory for it. I mean, if you're going to brag about it as if you're somebody, you know, once it happens, then guess what? You're lifted up in pride, and pride goes before a fall. He doesn't want people to say, "Look what my might and the power of my hand has gotten me." But he says in Deuteronomy 8, he says, "But you shall remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant as it is this day." Hallelujah. See, some people are against what they call the health and wealth message. Have you ever heard, you know, what we preach? The health and wealth message. You know, some people are against that because they don't understand. They, you know, what they do is they say, well, you think you're better than everybody else. No, I don't. I just think God is better than everybody else. I think he's good. I think he's a good God, and there's nothing that I can do to earn his favor. Now, I can do some things that keep me in line with his favor and his goodness. I don't want to get out of God's graces. I wanna live my life in a way that pleases him. I wanna do his will. The more you find out how good he is, the more you want to do God's will. But God will bring you into places, if you will expect it, he'll bring you into places that you couldn't get to by yourself. You'll conquer territory that you couldn't conquer by yourself. Hallelujah. That's all as a result of God's favor. Remember, we said grace is God's favor, his presence, his influence, his help, and his ability. Hallelujah. God's, you know, the favor of God, or the grace of God, is God's favor, his presence, his influence, his help, and his ability. How many of you know that God can influence some people that you can't influence? Now, we looked last week at the life of Joseph and how that Joseph, you know, we read there in Genesis some things about him and how that he came in favor. Look over at Acts chapter 7 with me. Let's just see the way that Joseph's life was summed up in Acts chapter 7. This is when Peter was preaching. Or excuse me, Stephen was preaching. Now let's just go down to verse 9. It says, and the patriarchs, that's talking about Joseph's brothers, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. Look at the next part. But God was with him. But God was with him. Hallelujah. I like that. Doesn't matter what your circumstances are right now. How many of you know Joseph got into some pretty ugly circumstances? You read his life, and he went through a season in his life when it didn't look, he went through a couple of seasons in his life where it did not look like he was rising to the top. And you may be the same way. See, but this is where, you know, people, this is where it kind of boils down to those who have endurance and really trust in God versus those who just kind of heard the preaching and think they're going to try and see if it'll work for them. Because a lot of times people, you know, they hear a message on favor, they hear a message on faith, or, you know, whatever it is, healing, or, you know, prosperity, or whatever it is, and their circumstances don't change, or maybe even they find themselves in worse circumstances right after that, and they chuck it in and say, that doesn't work for me. Joseph could have cursed his brothers. He could have cursed God. He could have, you know, I mean, he could have just got all angry and everything. And now he kept a good attitude through all that. Everything we can see about him, he had a good attitude. Have you ever seen somebody that has a chip on their shoulder because they've been mistreated? Have you ever had a chip on your shoulder because you've been? I have. And I found out that when I go around like that, the favor of God doesn't work for me. Get that chip off your shoulder. Stop going around saying, you don't know how I've been hurt. Everybody's hurt me. And I just... And you know, and you start walking around with that kind of an attitude, and you just look at people different. You say, why is everybody always scowling at me? Because you're scowling at them. You didn't even know it. But Joseph didn't go around with a chip on his shoulder, you know, and saying, man, I've been mistreated and all this kind of stuff, and you know, no, he kept a good attitude through that. And so look what it says here in chapter 7 and verse 9. It says, the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. But God was with him. Let me tell you something, it doesn't matter. You may be walking right now through the valley of the shadow of death, but God is with you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Woo! Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Woo! You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. It don't matter what you're walking through right now. Don't complain about it. Start saying, glory to God, the Lord is with me. But the Lord is with me. I lost my job, but the Lord is with me. Hallelujah. If God be for me, who can be against me? Whew. Let's finish this up here. So they did him dirty. The patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. I don't care if I have to stand alone. God is with me. Shouldn't matter to you if you have to stand all by yourself, as long as you know God is with you. He's not only with you now in the new covenant, he's in you. So we could say it this way, you know, I mean, whatever. You know, those guys did this and that to me, but God is in me. See, God was just with Joseph, but he's in me. He's in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Glory to God. You telling me you can't overcome? I tell you what, Joseph overcame because of the favor of God, because God was with him. We overcome because of the favor of God, because God is in us. Now, let's read this. The patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions. And gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Woo! Talk about from the pit to the palace. Made him governor over all his house. Hallelujah. But you notice there, right there, it says it. Says God was with him. Verse 9. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor. Gave him favor. Hallelujah. The Bible says the same thing about Esther. Esther, you know, the king at the time, she was, you know, living, well, we won't go into all that. But anyway, the king, his wife got ornery and rebellious, Vashti, and he put her away, and he started doing a search for a new queen. And he got all this harem together. But the Bible says that Esther had favor in his sight above all the rest of them. And she was made his queen. He set the crown on her. Hallelujah. And then when it was, there was an evil guy wanted to kill all the Jews. And here she was, a Jew. And her uncle told her, you need to go and talk to the king. She says, I can't go into his presence without being invited, or it could be, it could cost me my head. And he said, who knows but that you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. He said, if you don't do it, God will raise up deliverance from someplace else, but you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. So she went, and the Bible says she found favor in his eyes, and he invited her in. He said, what's up? She said, this, that, and the other thing. And he said, all right, we're going to take care of that. But it was the favor of God. See, the favor of God will bring you into places where you couldn't go by yourself. The favor of God brought her before the king, hallelujah, when she wasn't even supposed to be there. Glory to God. Favor. Let me tell you something. Let's just get a revelation of that favor. Let's just begin to speak it. Let's begin to declare it. Let's begin to say it. Hallelujah. We have to know about it in order for it to work for us. Let me look at one other scripture. Maybe two. Now let's just go to one. 2 Peter chapter 1. I know we can't exhaust the subject of favor. Well, we probably could, but you know, I hope this has given you enough to at least whet your appetite so that you'll start noticing this in the scriptures and start doing a study on this and start claiming favor for your life. The favor of God. Start in verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You have the Amplified open there? No, somebody got the Amplified. Here, I got it. Thank you. He says, verse 2, may grace, Amplified says, God's favor and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts, be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Do you notice there that we need some knowledge? Grace and peace, King James says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. But I like that, the way the Amplified amplifies this. It's like hooking some serious wattage onto this system here. May grace, God's favor, and peace, which is perfect well-being. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I have perfect well-being. Perfect well-being. Peace, nothing missing, nothing broken. Perfect well-being. Sometimes we need to just relax and say, Selah. Hallelujah. Stop and think about that. May grace, God's favor, and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts be not added but multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You see, when we start understanding His character and His nature, hallelujah, what this does, God's favor is multiplied in our life. God's peace is multiplied in our life. Hallelujah. It just, you know, things just begin to blossom and bloom and bear fruit that didn't before because of the favor of God. Hallelujah. You can apply this to every area of your life. It says in Psalms 30, one translation, New American Standard, says God's favor is for life. God's favor is for life. Hallelujah. This is, God's favor is not just for church. God's favor is for life. It's for out there. One time we were coming back from a men's canoe trip. We took a men's canoe trip for the church. This has been several years ago. But anyway, we went out on a Friday, and most of them were staying through Sunday, but I came back on Saturday afternoon because I had church the next morning. But anyway, I wanted to stop at a men's store in Kansas City, and it was actually one that I had never been at before, but it was a very, very, very nice store. I heard they had nice suits and everything like that in there. And so I stopped in there, and I was still in my canoeing clothes. I mean, you know, I just had my shorts on and my, you know, stinky shirt, you know, and flip-flops, you know, and stuff. And I just went in there and, you know, and I think all I was going to do is get a tie. I wanted to see what kind of ties they had. But anyway, I walked around in that store, and there were salesmen. Have you ever seen salesmen in a showroom or something that they don't want to talk to somebody? You know, they'll find all kinds of ways to realize you're not there and talk to each other, and they'll look everywhere around you and everything else, you know. And I'm wandering around this store, and I'd been there for about 10 minutes and nobody had helped me. And you know, they were probably saying, look at that guy. Ugh, he couldn't buy anything in here. But finally somebody comes up to me and says, sir, have you been helped? And I said, well, no. I said, I came in, stopped, look at ties, but I said, what's your nicest suit that you carry? And he says, well, let me show you something. We go over there, and he starts showing me, pulling things off the rack, you know, and stuff, and let me try them on, which was, you know, kind of dangerous, I guess. But anyway, come to find out, he's the owner of the store. And he says, I'll tell you what I'll do. And the store was just about to close. And he says, anything you want? He says, I'll give it to you half price. So, man, I'm telling you what. I got more than a tie. And anyway, it was a blessing. I think I got like 3 suits and a couple of ties and shirts and some Allen Edmond shoes, and you know, I mean, just, you know, I loaded up. But I just saw that as the favor of God. The favor of God. He didn't have to give me half price on everything, but praise God, he did. And then he found out that I was a preacher, and he said, come back anytime, I'll give you half price. Just talk to me. Don't deal with the salesman. Just talk to me. Woo! Favor will bring you into places where you couldn't get on your own. If I'd have walked in there and said, I don't care how nice I was dressed. If I'd have walked in there and said, you know what, I want to buy some suits today, half price. He'd have said, who do you think you is? Hmm? No, the favor of God. Hallelujah. If you're in sales, the favor of God, claim the favor of God every day. I tell you, I got a hold of that. I went in sales. I was not doing that great, you know, and stuff. When I was living in, we were living in Tulsa, and then I got a hold of the favor of God, and I started confessing the favor. And I'd get up and spend time with Him every morning, to spend time with God, get in His presence. And places that would not even let me pass the secretary or the receptionist before, all of a sudden, I got favor, and I'm going in. And I'm making so many sales that I had to stop selling just to keep making deliveries, because I was selling so much. And I made more in 11 days working, 12 working days, than I usually made. I made 3 times as much in 12 working days as what I usually made in a whole month. And it was favor. I mean, there was one place I stopped in. I mean, it was a little podunk place. I mean, I don't even remember what they did. They manufactured something, but it was in an industrial area and stuff. And I walked in there and talked to the boss, and he said, "Yeah, I'll buy one." And this machine I was selling was $5,000-some, and my commission on it was $1,200. And so within 15 minutes, I had an order written up, you know, and so I had $1,500 commission made. And I'm walking out the door and telling him thank you. And then we're walking past this empty space in this room. And I mean, I didn't even see maybe three people working in this whole office. And I sold him a copier for this one place. And then we're walking out, and just in the next room over, there's a little empty space. And he goes, "Do you have a small machine that would fit right in this space right here?" I said, "Yeah." I showed him a brochure on that, and he says, "Well, bring one of those too." And I made $500 on that one. And just, I mean, the favor of God just going before me and, you know, and stuff. This stuff is real. I've seen it work. But we have to exercise our faith for it. If there's been some situation, maybe you got some property you haven't been able to sell. Hallelujah. Start thanking God for favor. Lord, I just thank you for favor. I tell you, there's somebody out there that needs to buy that property. They want it. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're looking for a piece of property to buy, hallelujah. Just thank God you got favor. Hallelujah. Favor. Everybody say it.
Favor.
Say it again.
Favor.
Say it again.
Favor.
Say it three times.
Favor. Favor.
Now say, I have favor.
I have favor.
With God and man.
With God and man.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
And highly favored.
And highly
favored. Whoo, I'll tell you what. That's the way a child of God ought to be. Hittites, Canaanites, Jebusites, Hivites, Gittites, but favorites, hallelujah. That's what we have, favor. We got the favor of God. Now, like I said, when it shows up, no matter how small it is, no matter how small it seems, just say, thank God. That's favor. Oh, I thank you, Lord. That's favor. Hallelujah. I mean, somebody gives you $5 after church, say, thank you, Lord. I got favor. That five can turn into 500. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, But see, God will continue to bless what you're thankful for. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed.
For more information about the full line of services and ministry products from Light of the World Christian Center, feel free to contact us at 3301 Southwest Gage Boulevard, Topeka, Kansas, 66614. Or visit us on the web at www.lotwcc.org.